podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. We are back with another show. Shock, surprise. We've done two in 2 days, which is good going considering the rate we've been doing them recently. But before we get into it, I am Mick and I'm joined by Christian once again. He's back, everyone. He's not been kicked out. He's not been he's not gone AWOL. He is back with a vengeance. How are you doing, lad?
Much better now, thanks. I've been feeling very poorly for a while, like two and a half weeks with cough and just feeling rubbish, really. But now I'm back and have more energy, and I can talk now without having to cough every second or whatever, you know. So, yeah, it's good to talk Liverpool again, and obviously looking forward to the game on Saturday, which will be another early kickoff, which we feel can be something that is difficult. And it's away against Brentford as well. And we haven't gone there and won yet. So let's go and do that to keep, you know, staying at the top of the table and continue the good life of being a Liverpool supporter, I would say.
Yeah, on the statue of Mike, like he was telling me, like the 44th early kickoff since Klopp arrived. Mad. And post it everywhere and people were like, oh yeah, fucking hell, it's crazy. And then I have one fella on, don't know why, but on TikTok, I only go on there to post stuff and then I leave immediately. But I saw this comment and he was like, Scouse is always moaning. And I was like, fuck off, delete. I'm not even giving you the energy to respond to you, you bastard. But it is funny, like when you look at a 44, I think Spurs and City are on 39, Man United 34. It's all because we're all a victim of our own success, I guess, in a way, because everyone wants us on BT and whatever, and early kickoffs. But it is a bit of a mad one. Like you said, early kickoffs anyway, even at Anfield, are like everyone's still half asleep. The atmosphere is not the best, but then it's away to a team that we haven't won against since they've been promoted. Everyone starts getting a little bit jittery come like Friday night, early Saturday morning. You're like, oh, fuck, it's going to be a tricky one. And it is going to be a tricky one because like two games we've played away and we drew the first one 3-3 in September 2021, a mad game. And then, of course, we lost last year in January of 23, 3-1. But I reckon that one doesn't count because we were just like a shell. We were a shadow of ourselves and Brentford took full advantage in that period where we were basically, me and Christian were popping on these shows and going, yeah, we got beat 3-0 again, lad. How are we feeling? It's just like rinse and repeat, kept saying the same shit over and over. But that was just a mad time winner. But now, thankfully, of course, we've had some bad news since then, like with Klopp leaving and stuff. But these are the games, like I put in the group chat this morning, like if you're serious about going on and winning the title or being in touching distance at least come the end of the season, you've got to go and win these games. As hard as it is, you've just got to go and win. Like, I mean, we've done that recently in games where Burnley and other games where you don't play well, but you're just like, fuck it, just win. It is just win. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, but you know, we're in a totally different place compared to last season, because then we were really bad in the majority of the whole season and we could not guarantee, you know, going somewhere to actually get points. Every place was tough and this will be tough as well, but we're in a totally different place, like I said. So we go in there with 3 points in the back from Burnley. Obviously, we lost against Arsenal, but you know, it was just one of them where things didn't work away and Arsenal was really good and you can't really, you know, expect to go there and win. It's a tough place, Emirates. So, you know, if you take that game away and look at the other results that we had recently, we're in a good place. We're in good form. Yes, we have a few injuries now. We have some players coming back as well. You know, we're still in a very good place and I'm not, you know, concerned about where we are now going forward. I'm more like, yes, this is a game where we go and need to go and win and get the 3 points because we're going to stay top of the league. We're going to keep Man City Arsenal and even Aston Villa behind us, you know. So I guess it's more the question of going there and do the job. Even though it's an early kickoff, I feel you just have to go there with a 100% feeling of just getting the job done. You know, win 1-0, whatever. Just go there and be solid, be strong, put pressure on them. Don't let them, you know, have time on the ball. And that's what you need to do. And this is one of them where you don't look at it as a big game, but every single game now that is left of this season will be a big game. So you have to treat every game as a cup final, in my opinion, because that's the mindset that you need to go and get those 3 points to keep staying at the top and keep the other teams behind you, because that's where we are at the moment. If we continue to win, they will stay behind us. So there's nothing else than actually just go there with that mentality, I would say.
Yeah, it is a bit annoying. Like when you think about, like, I think we've talked about before, like years gone by where if you draw a game here and there, it doesn't matter. But in this era, it's annoying that you have to win. Anything but a win is seen as like you're fucked, basically. And yeah, of course, we do play City on the 10th of March as well. So it is still true. If we win every game, we will win the title. But it's going to be a massive long slog until we get to them. But like you said, Brentford, early kickoff, City play Chelsea at R5. So I would recommend not tuning into that one, because I've done it so many times over the years where you go, I'll tune in for the first, 10 minutes or whatever. Inevitably, Ireland will score and you're like, yep, fuck's sake, I'm out of here. So yeah, you can hope for a miracle. Let's all hope for a miracle in some of the games, but just know that deep down that it won't happen probably. But yeah, the league, I mean, like you said, we haven't talked about Arsenal or Burnley. Of course, the Arsenal game, we got beat, rightly so. We just didn't turn up. But in terms of the league table, we're still 2 points clear. Of course, City have got a game in hand, and Arsenal still 2 points behind as well. They've played the same amount of games. So yeah, I'm just excited to see what Liverpool do, because like you said, there's some of the bad news coming out was about Trent possibly missing the League Cup final next Sunday. Szoboszlai might miss it as well. Both massive players. But again, on the flip side, looking at the positives, Salah's back in training. That is, I think, because we've got by so well without him, I don't think it's gone under the radar, but it's like, I guess we haven't fully got our heads around the fact that he is back, and once he's back on the field, he is a different beast. And hopefully he comes back fresh from the obviously disappointments of AFCON getting injured and stuff, and uses that as a platform to go and win the Premier League title with Liverpool in Klopp's last season. Alisson, the same after missing Burnley, same as Gomez. Bradley, of course, has been missing because his dad sadly passed away. I saw him in a few clips on Twitter. So hopefully he's back. If he's not, then we'll have to figure something out. But he's been, like we've said on previous shows, especially the Chelsea game, he was ridiculous. And I referenced Chelsea because you mentioned like energy and stuff. That's the gold standard and the benchmark should be that Chelsea game now, because that was one of the best performances we've put in a long time in terms of all-round performance, goals, energy, commitments, tackles, everything that was in there. We need to use that as a basis going into these away games, especially where it's going to be even harder. But you just need to put in the same energy as you put in against Chelsea, and we've got enough quality to get over the line.
Yeah, and I would say Chelsea and Newcastle is the two games where you look at and be like, if we can play like that as we did against Newcastle and Chelsea, we can beat any team with the quality and with that kind of power and energy that we can bring on to the pitch with the players that we got. So, you know, if you take that kind of feeling into this kind of game, even though it's an away game and we know that's a little bit more difficult than playing at home with the crowd behind us and everything, but that's what you need to do. Like I said, it's down to mentality. That's, you know, where you want to be every time. You want us to start, you know, very fast and with pace and with energy, because that will take loads of teams, you know, they won't be prepared for it if we go like that. And, you know, if we make them not feeling like they have time on the ball, like I mentioned before, and, you know, with the players being out, hopefully Conor Bradley is available. We'll see. You know, I understand, obviously, he's going through a very tough period in his life. He's a young lad, you know, losing his dad at that age. You never know how it can affect anyone, really. Obviously, he's got the club, Jurgen Klopp as a kind of father figure as a manager and all the players around him in a, to, you know, try to make it as the best place for him to be. And he's professional as well. You know, even though you think about, you know, private life, I think, you know, a kid like him or a young man like him at the same time, you know, go and make his dad proud to continue, you know, being a pro and play for Liverpool. So I'm not, you know, sure that he will be back, but I hope he's back because we really need him because I think, you know, he was brilliant against Chelsea. Obviously, he was voted our the player of the month as well for us. So hopefully he's back because we need his energy. You know, it provides and contributes and brings everyone into that kind of level. It's sad, obviously, missing Trent and Soboslai, but with Salah coming back, you know, it's a big boost. We've been playing brilliantly without him, but, you know, to add him into their squad and into a potential starting place, obviously, with everything that he brings, it's only a bonus for us. You know, at the moment, you can argue, you know, should he start or not because he's been injured and we've been playing that well without him. But, you know, just to have him there to be able to start him or throw him in from the bench is, you know, something that you know, it's a luxury thing. So I think that's brilliant. And then we'll see, you know, with other players. But, you know, like you said, Gomez, Alisson as well, who's been out because of sickness. So we got the players coming back that, you know, means a lot to us and the way we play and, you know, they contribute with all the quality. So, you know, you look at the game and, you know, Brentford is a good team. But, you know, if we can go there with that kind of mentality, as we've been speaking about, I think we've got a really, really good chance to go and win it and stay top of the league.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we might as well go into team news fully then, I guess, in terms of who we want to see. Of course, Kelleher came in last minute for Ali and done very well. I mean,
yeah,
we've criticised them, I guess, for some of the saves that we think he should be making in previous games where he's came in. But in this one, he was right on it, straight out of people, covering the spaces and making big saves and keeping us in the game. So, and that's how good he can be. So I do want to see more of that Kelleher between now and the end of the season. But if Ali's available, he goes straight in because you can't not put him in because of how good and how important he is for us. If Bradley's fit, then yeah, he has to go back in, definitely. I think because Trent came back and then got injured again, I think it just fell badly, really, with the whole, of course, circumstances and personal life and whatever. But I think Bradley would have started both of them games, I think, with Trent still not being 100%. So I think hopefully he comes back in. Van Dijk and Konate. And then for me, I think the interesting one is left back because Gomez has been so good there, like so good. But then I think it's similar to the Salah situation because he's back now. Does he just retain this position or do you keep Gomez in there just because of how good he's been and then been able to, because he's been inverting inside a little bit more, and I think that sometimes helps our formation and our setup and our transitions and stuff. But who would you go with, Robbo?
It is a difficult one because it depends on, like you said, Joe Gomez has gone, you know, in that kind of position that Trent is playing on the right-hand side, you know, going into central areas of the pitch. And that it kind of helped when Bradley played to the right because he's more of, you know, a player that goes up and down the line and go wide. Just like the way we've been playing Trent on the right-hand side, going in central, and then Robertson played to the left, going wide. So, you know, it depends on how we want to play. But, you know, I think, obviously, Joe Gomez has now been out sick. But, you know, if he's ready to play, I think he still deserves to play, to be honest, because I think he's been that good. But at the same time, you always benefit from having a natural, you know, left wing back with the energy that Robertson has. And obviously, he want to fight his way back. So it depends also how Brentford will, you know, and their formation and their lineup, and, you know, we can only guess. But, you know, it depends also with Bradley. If there's still issues with him, obviously not playing because of what he went through, and we know Trent is out, then Joe Gomez could, you know, straight going over to the right side and we play Robertson to the left. And I think that might be something that Klopp is looking to, because he might not want to throw Bradley in too quickly after, you know, with everything that happened with his dad and passing away and, you know, just having time with his family. So he might take it a little bit easy with him if he's not coming and say, you know, I'm ready, I want to play. But it could be that, okay, Robertson is back, let's get him into up to speed and match form, and then let Joe Gomez go to the right. So we got the options, but it's hard to see what's going to happen depending on their circumstances on the day, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the midfield, I think, is an easier one because, of course, there's obviously injury. I think Macha and Owen Jones, I think, would be my pick. I don't think Gravenberch has been near the level that he's, I guess, shown in the, I mean, he's only been here 2 minutes and he showed some high levels and he showed some medium levels, I guess. No doubt on how good he is and how good he can be for us in the future. But I just think in terms of our first midfield three on form, I think it would be Jones, Endo and Macha. Would you agree?
Yeah, the only thing is with McAllister, I think he's been so much better now since he came into his number six role. When he came up further up the pitch where we wanted to see him previously, when we said, you know, he's not the natural number six. We want him higher up on the pitch with his creativity, you know, and his little nice touches and being able to play that little ball in behind the defensive line and all that. I think he's been so great, you know, playing number six recently that we've been thinking maybe he should just keep on playing there. But obviously with Endo also being a great defensive midfielder, we got the options there. But I think against Burnley, when he was higher up the pitch, it didn't really have the same contribution on the pitch, the same impact. So you could argue, would you play him maybe as the number six and have Endo on the bench and go with Curtis Jones and maybe Alliot, who came in and was really, really good against Burnley, because obviously with his assists and the way he had an impact on the game. Yeah. But, you know, if you play Endo and put Jones and McAllister higher up, obviously that's not a bad thing. It's just that I think what we've seen from McAllister so far, he's been brilliant as a number six. So why not continue with him there if we feel that it's more beneficial for us, depending on how we want to have the lineup, obviously. But with that said, you know, Endo's been brilliant as well as the wall, you know, protecting the defensive line. So, you know, it's like I said before, it's more of a luxury problem that we can pick and choose. But also I want us to get the most out of a player like McAllister. And what I've seen and what we've seen since he came into the club and the role he's been playing, he kind of found his feet in that number six role and he's been playing really well. So it's more of a matter of who he wants to play further up and what kind of creativity and energy we want further up the field, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one because I think in the Burnley game, Endo and Macha kind of turned into like a double defensive midfield duo in there towards the end of the game to allow like Curtis Jones playing right back. He was boss again, by the way, to allow the fullbacks to bomb on, I guess, in the old fashioned way a little bit, where we'd get further up the field, and that allowed Harvey Elliott to be a bit more, I guess, come inside a bit more central and have a bit more space and time on the ball and stuff, and get and to use his creativity. So, like I said, there is options. I just think with Elliott, I think he's firmly a super sub at the minute, and I feel like starting him takes that away a little bit. I think if you need him like the last 20 minutes again, I just feel like we're going through this period where we do need people coming off the bench who can then impact the game, the likes of Cody Gakpo, and then you've got Gravenberch, you've got Elliott. Like, to have them as a three coming onto the field maybe the last 20 minutes, half an hour, and to bring energy and creativity, I think is good. But I get your point, like with Macha being a bit further forward, he looked a bit like he'd got himself so used to being the six, and he'd hit a good level that when he was a bit further forward, he was like, oh, I'm not where I want to be, where I'm like a little Jack Russell, like nipping at people's ankles again. I think it's again, like you said, it's a bit of a luxury, but an interesting one, what we go with, especially with like Luton on Wednesday, and then there's the cup final on Sunday. So there's plenty of games, but I am interested to see who he goes with. It's going to be an interesting one. And then the front three, like we said, Salah, I just think anyone else but Salah, you think maybe I'll just go on the bench, but because it's Salah, he'll be banging on Klopp's door going, right, I'm back, throw me straight in, I want to score goals, I want to get stuck in. So I think for me, I think prior to the stats show, I hadn't seen that he'd been in training, so I was a bit like hesitant whether he would be, but after I saw the video and he was ready to go, I was like, yeah, fuck it, he's definitely starting. And then I think Nunes, of course, has to start in a game like this, where away from home, where you need that pace and balls in behind. And I think left wing, I think Jota nicks it for me. Of course, he won the Premier League Player of the Month, and he's just a lethal player. I absolutely love him. I always say like the injuries have just curtailed like how further along he could have been in terms of goals and stuff for us. He could have been so further on. But when he now that he's back and firing, I just think he's a surefire way. And again, it gives you then, like I said, with Gravenberch, Gakpo, Elliot, if you then have got Diaz as an option as well off the bench, like fucking hell, as a foursome, that is like to bring all them off, would be, Brentford would be like fucking fume, wouldn't
they? Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. You know, it depends on where we are with Salah at the moment, because I think, you know, the front three that's been playing, I think they, you know, we can all argue about them actually starting because they've been doing so well when Salah's been gone to AFCON and also obviously injured. But now if he's back and ready, but at the same time, it depends if he's going to start and then be taken off early in the second half or even half time, because I also don't want to risk him knowing that we're going into, obviously Luton at home will be a very important game in terms of playing home, getting 3 points. But then we got the cup final where we know that we need Salah. I don't want to risk anything to be, you know, a step back for him if he picks up another injury, because sometimes another injury can come upon a previous injury. You know what I mean? Like you want to make sure that he's proper 100% fit and able to play, or we're just going to play him for a certain minutes and then take him off. If that is starting or coming off the bench, that's another question. Because like I said, you can argue about the front three that's been playing recently has done it so well, scoring loads of goals. But it's a great thing that he's back, so we'll see. But Nunez, obviously, I want him to start because I think, you know, what he creates. I think, I don't know who said it or where I heard it or if I read it, but I think, you know, he's at the moment, obviously, because he's a Uruguayan as well, but he's a bit like Suarez in the sense of, someone said he's very much as Suarez in terms of there's always chances created by him. Wherever he plays on the pitch, there's always something going on. Like, you can always believe and trust that, you know, when he's got the ball or moves into spaces and stuff, there will be chances. Whether he will finish them off and hit the bar or the post, you know, that's another question. But he's always doing something. And sometimes when we've seen Liverpool play in the past, like in different, obviously not so much Klopp era, but you know, we've been playing before that and in certain moments, obviously with Klopp as well, you've been like, there's nothing happening, you know, there's no one in those positions, and you'd be frustrated because you feel like everything is going slow, we don't create anything. But with him on the pitch, it happens things all the time. So I think, you know, he must start these kind of games. And then obviously, if we can score 2 goals, he can be taken off to have a rest because obviously he used a lot of energy as well. But yeah, I think he should start. And I don't mind maybe resting Luis Diaz for a bit and then have Jota play in, because obviously with the energy that Diaz can bring on from the bench, it's brilliant as well. Like if you're a defender in Brentford looking at the bench and you see Diaz warming up, you'd be like, fucking hell, I'm knackered here and I'm going to have to play against him. So that's just something that is really great for us, that we got all them players available and that we can, you know, use them in the way we want. But for me, it's very important to, you know, I know we can talk about if we, you know, going to have a rotation, who's going to start and who's going to be rested. Will we, you know, be a little bit, you know, precaution about the cup final, you know, wait maybe with, like I said, Salah and stuff, because at the same time as we need those 3 points, I still also want to be, you know, fresh and 100% ready for the cup final to beat Chelsea to lift another trophy, because that, you know, that's the goal. So we'll see, but I'm sure the Klopp knows what he's doing, and you know, I'm sure that he's having a plan for the likes of Salah and all that kind of stuff, if he can play the whole game or if he's gonna just play half a match or whatever. So
yeah,
I'm just thinking that we're in a moment now where it's going to come up games, like we play Saturday, we play Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, you know, we need to have a little bit of a think who's going to play and where can we rotate it and stuff, because we don't want to have more injuries now on key players like Trent, Szoboszlai, go moving forward, because if we have that and we know there's going to be tough games coming up like City, we play Man United and Everton away as well further on, that means we need all those key players and the best players available, and you never know if you're going to use them too much now. So I'm not concerned. It's just like how I see it going forward if we're going to stay atop.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, definitely, because I think, like I said, there's loads of games coming up, but you can't I think Klopp's on them. He doesn't ever think too far ahead. Of course, he's got to rotate and stuff, but I think like a game like this against Brentford away, early kickoff, to play play your best side, it would be what I would do, just to get yourself over the line, get the points, then see what. Watch Chelsea get beat 3-0 by City, and then you just crack on, and then you get to the Luton game and stuff, and then you go into Chelsea. So I think it's just about like taking it. I think it is that old cliche that Klopp and the team and the players always seem to say, like, there's a game at a time. And I think the thing you said on Nunes is quite interesting, because there's so many like strikers and very good strikers, even in this era and past eras, that you can mark them out of games. Like, if they've got no service, or no one's providing them with passes or whatever, then they're pretty anonymous. They still could pop up with goals. I think Jota's sometimes that type of player where he might not be in the game all the time, but he'll pop up with a goal and get you the winner, and it makes you love him even more. But I think Nunes, he's just one of them people that he's so quick and wants to be involved in everything, that he's always there and he's always making stuff happen. If he's not getting on the left, he'll go over to the right. If the space in behind, he knows to be on the shoulder. So I think that's the reason why he's always in the side, because there's always something happening, and he can always, even if he misses chances or whatever, he's always a threat. And I think that's something that we need to appreciate, really, because we've had players in the past that maybe haven't been able to do it in the same way that he has, because how quick and how strong and how good he is. But yeah, loads of stuff for Jürgen to think about, really, in terms of starting 11. But I think the bad news about Trent and Szoboszlai, I think the good news is better to think about, really, in terms of getting those players back and just trying to get a bit of, just keeping the momentum going, really. I think because how good we've been, even in like I said, the Burnley game, we weren't that good, but we still won. I think we can take a lot of solace from that, a lot of like credit from that, like, even if we're not at our best, we're still managing to get over the line and just managing to get over the line and get out of there and take the 3 points and go home and get the extra 3 points on the board. So I think it's something that we need to keep in mind, that these type of games just might start coming up where we're top of the league, or teams just be like, oh, 10 men behind the ball, keep Ivan Toney up top, and then we'll play long balls to him, get the flick on and try and run off him, which is what they'll probably do. So I think we need to be at our best, and I think I've got no doubts that we will be, because I think with all the news about Jürgen and stuff, I think it's hopefully create a bit of a perfect storm where we're in a perfect funk, really, where we can just keep going and keep the momentum going. Well, that's what I'm here's hoping anyway, lad. That's what I'm hoping for. But yeah, we shall come to score predictions. Did you get it right last week? I don't know, actually. Did you say 3?
I think 3-1. I said 4-1.
Oh, did you?
I can't remember now. I think. I don't know.
What do you think? I've already gone early in the group chat, so I'm saying 2-1 to the Reds.
Ooh, that was something I was looking. But I'd say 3-1. I'll be a little bit more optimistic and just go 3-1 then.
That is your score prediction. Like, if you were like... I don't know. If you were,
I feel more 2-1, but I don't want to take the same. So I say 3-1, because it's a little bit boring to just go. I just go with what Mick said.
I think Paul said the other week, like, that was we said the same scoreline for the first time ever, and I think it was 2-1.
But it would be boring if we always said the same, though. Yeah, even true. if I feel like 2-1 is a. It's a go-to result, you know, because that's how I, you know, when I look at it, yeah. But it would be boring to say the same as you, so I'll go 3-1 then.
So, well, yeah. Let's hope for 3-1. I'll take
Nunez hat-trick.
Yeah. Well, you know, a Joey Gomez goal towards the end would be
absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Fucking love that. Right, well, we can get out of here. Nice half an hour done. Thanks to Christian, as always, for jumping on. Thanks to everyone for listening. As always, even when we've been away for 2 weeks and whatever, the stat show has been doing really well, and again, we always appreciate everyone listening, so thanks again. But yeah, we'll see us all very soon. Let's hope the Reds can end the tiny hoodoo against Brentford away, go and get a win and keep marching on. That's what we hope. But yeah, nice one as always, and we'll see us all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast. We'll be right back.
Sports Social Podcast Network.